This is the Fiend Master from ShadowPublications.com. Mr. Paul Ellard Cooley, author of Closet Treats, The Fiend's Collection, and the 2010 Parsec Award finalist novella Tattoo, available now as an ebook at Amazon.com, Smashwords.com, and BarnesandNoble.com for 99 cents. Was unavailable to record this bumper for the Masters of Horror anthology due to a pressing engagement with the local insane asylum. You can find his free audio fiction at ShadowPublications.com, along with rants, reviews, essays, and the occasional word for myself. But for now, you are listening to the Masters of Horror anthology. Enjoy.
ShadowCastAudio.com presents The Masters of Horror, The Anthology. Welcome to a world hidden behind the blinds of reality, a landscape waiting to be molded into a thing of pain and torture. This anthology is not for the faint-hearted. The ideas, themes, and disturbing images portrayed within will send your brain into overdrive on the road to madness. This book is guaranteed to rob you of sleep at night and bring you the nightmares you've most feared. You've been warned.
Jennifer Brozek is a freelance author for many RPG companies, including Margaret Weiss Productions, Rogue Games, and Catalyst Game Labs. Her contributions to RPG source books include Dragonlance, Colonial Gothic, Shadowrun, Serenity, and White Wolf SAS. She has also co-authored three books, including Dragon World Adventures with Margaret Weiss. Author of In a Gilded Light, Dark Quest Books, June 2010, she has published in several anthologies, is the creator and editor of the semi-pro zine The Edge of Propinquity, and is a submissions editor for the Apex Book Company. When she is not writing her heart out, she is gallivanting around the Pacific Northwest in its wonderfully mercurial weather. Jennifer is a member of Broad Universe, the Science Fiction Writers Association, and the Horror Writers Association. The Cost of Job Security, by Jennifer Brozek. Read by Paul Ellard Cooley. Shelley meandered her old woman's stroll through the jewelry store, ignoring the venomous looks the shop girl was giving her.
Save your clairs, girlie. I know you want to close up, but I still have 3 minutes left, and we both know you don't have a life waiting for you. You can just wait on me.
She paused at a case of opal and diamond rings.
Oh, I'd like to see that one, please. Yes, ma'am.
The shop girl, whose name tag read Joy, said in a tone that turned the phrase into,
Yes, you stupid bitch. Would you get out of my store now?
Joy unlocked the case and pulled the ring out from under the glass for Shelley to consider. Shelley ignored the girl's impatient fidgeting and tried the ring on. It was too small. She peered at Joy.
Do you have this in a different size?
No, ma'am, but we do have an excellent resizing service that comes with the ring. If you would like, I could take your measurements and our resident goldsmith will resize the ring for you tomorrow. All you would have to do is pick it up tomorrow afternoon, Joy said with little hope of the woman in front of her actually buying the ring being examined. She was right, of course.
No, I'm much too busy tomorrow to come in. I have a day at the spa planned.
Shelley handed the ring back with a dismissive gesture.
All right, you have a good evening, ma'am, she broadly hinted. Store closed 5 minutes ago.
Not by my watch.
Joy's smile did not falter. It just grew more brittle.
Yes, ma'am.
By which she clearly meant,
Go die in a fire, bitch.
She took a breath and relocked the case.
The mall doors will close and lock in about 15 minutes.
They wouldn't lock it with people inside, would they?
It's been known to happen.
Well, how do you get out of here?
If I get out of here on time, I usually make it out before that happens. However, if I don't, there are back ways that employees know about. If worse comes to worst, I look for one of the nighttime security guards, and they unlock a door for me.
Shelley nodded, no longer interested in the girl.
You have a good night. I hope I didn't keep you too long.
She left the store without waiting for Joy's answer.
That's it. The last two, Mark said, looking at the panel of security screens. It's one of them. He drank one of the free sodas that the mall provided in the break room for employees only. This is the thing you've been telling me about since I started? The takings? He nodded. It's your first one. I know you said you could handle it, but you need to put your big boy pants on, Jim. I'm serious. I'm fine. I know which side my bread is buttered on. I've been enjoying free meals for a month now, and it's really helping my budget.
Jim looked over Mark's shoulder at the monitor screens.
An old lady or a cashier? God, I hope it's the old lady.
Mark shrugged.
The mall will take whichever one it wants. Usually it's the one that's the last in the place.
How come we don't get taken? And, you know, Jim made a vague gesture.
Because we work here.
Jim pointed at the screen that showed Joy closing the steel gate on the jewelry shop and said,
She works here too.
Mark frowned.
I never thought of it that way. She works for a place that just rents space here. Maybe it's because we're the night shift.
Probably.
And security. Because we watch and keep our mouths shut. I just hope you can do that, rookie.
Don't worry about me. I don't care about these people any more than you do. I know the skull.
Jim's voice was clear, but Mark could tell he was nervous. They both turned to watch the flickering screens and the women on them.
Shelley Atherton, longtime wife of an overindulgent husband, walked through the empty mall hallways. She liked to shop when no one else was around. It always made her feel like a movie star that had the store shut down while she perused the merchandise.
Would they really lock me in? I don't think so,
she thought as she walked toward the mall entrance she originally came in.
How would they get me out? Would I have to find the security guards, or would they find me? Obviously, it's not my fault they locked me in. It's the fault of that shop girl. She was so slow. Yes, very slow.
Secure in the knowledge that she had a perfectly reasonable explanation to tell whoever rescued her if she were locked in, Shelley did not speed up. She continued to window shop along her way towards the door at the end of the mall hallway.
It's only 10:15. They won't lock it before 10:30, and if I see anyone coming, I'll call out to them. They'll have to stop and wait for me.
That was the way things were in Shelley's life. People always waited for her. When you were important enough or rich enough, it was worth it for people to do so. She did not expect that to change now. In fact, she considered whether or not she should get angry at the person locking the door.
It would be my right, after all. I am the customer here, and I pay a pretty penny to the stores in this mall, keeping them open.
Her mental rant stopped before it really began, as she suddenly caught the sight of an intricately detailed scarf in a boutique window. Suddenly, time ticking away did not matter anymore. Meanwhile, Joy Patterson, single woman with a hungry cat and 2 hours of homework for law school waiting for her, stepped with a determined stride through the empty mall hallway. She never liked working this late, but her morning classes required it from time to time, and because her boss was generous enough to allow her no morning shifts, she took the night shifts as needed. Money was scarce, and so were jobs that would accept her hour requirements.
If that stupid bitch makes me miss the bus, I'm going to scream, she thought, letting her hatred of the woman, and all women like her, bubble up. In 2 years, I'm going to be a lawyer, and they're just going to be old and as ugly on the outside as they are on the inside.
She hurried her stride, not wanting to miss the last bus. Joy's sensible work shoe came untied, adding an extra flapping sound to her rhythmic stride. She paused and looked down at it. Either she could tie it later at the bus stop and not worry about it now, or she could put her purse, her backpack, and her drink down and take care of it. The decision seemed momentarily overwhelming.
God, I am tired. If I have to stop and consider whether or not I'm going to tie my shoe.
The door was another 30 yards in front of her.
She started to put her backpack down, but stopped as a feeling of being watched came over her. She shrugged it back onto her shoulder and surged forward toward the door to the parking lot.
Fuck this shoe. I want out of here.
Back in the basement security office, Mark and Jim watched with hope and dread as the two women made their respective ways toward the outside. It was a race, though neither woman knew it.
Come on, girl, hurry it up, Jim said, urging Joy on. Get out of here.
Mark mumbled through a mouthful of chicken-flavored ramen noodles.
I think the old lady's gonna make it out first. She's got a lot less distance to go.
Fuck that. I'll hold her up.
Jim turned and headed for the office door.
Stow it, rookie.
Mark barked the order in a tone that Jim had never heard from his lackadaisical superior.
You go out there, and suddenly there's a choice of three people for the mall to take rather than just two.
Jim grabbed the handle of the office door.
I gotta do something. She always smiles and waves at me when I go by. Most of the other employees here ignore me till they need me to boot a shoplifter out of this store.
Mark shrugged. You can't do anything. He paused. Besides, the door won't open. That's how I know tonight's the night of the taking. Jim looked down at the knob in his hand and turned it. It turned easily enough. It took an act of will for him to pull the door open. When he did, the door would not move. Not at all. He tried to shake the door in its frame, but the door did not even tremble. It was as if it were part of the wall.
Told you, Mark said, throwing away his empty cup of ramen. This is it. We'll see who gets to the door first.
Jim returned to stand over Mark, and they both watched as the women both paused equal distances from the respective exits. The old woman was looking at something in a display window. The young one was looking down at her shoe.
No, Jim said. Just go.
For a moment, nothing happened. Then the old woman turned from the display window and started walking more purposefully toward the exit.
Fuck the shoe!
Jim yelled at the screen with Joy standing in it.
Just get out of here! I can't help you!
He paused at a look from Mark and lowered his voice.
Just go, please!
It's not over yet, Mark said, his voice grim.
He leaned forward as the two women closed on their respective doors, their hands reaching out to the door handles at the same time and pushing simultaneously. Both doors stuck.
Shit, he muttered, silently hoping the mall would not take them both.
Then, as both women tried their doors again, only one opened. When Joy started moving forward again, making it out into the open air and freedom, Jim gave a shout of triumph and threw his fist into the air.
Yeah!
Jim was still watching Joy in the parking lot when Mark said,
Now this ought to be interesting.
Shelley pushed on the exit door and frowned as it did not move. She pushed on it again, and both her temper and fear flared when it remained stubbornly closed.
Oh, someone will pay, she said aloud. Dearly, she added, and stomped back down the hallway, ignoring the shiny new products in the dimly lit store windows.
She stomped all the way to the other end of the mall and tried the doors there. They were also locked. She stood there for a moment, considering her options.
Think, Shelley. What are you doing in an emergency?
Because, of course, Shelley Atherton trapped anywhere she did not want to be was an emergency.
Call Percy. He'll fix it,
she decided, pulled out her phone and looked at it. No bars. She scowled, opened the phone, and saw the words, No signal, on the screen.
There were bars earlier.
She put the phone away.
Fine. I'll find whomever is working this godforsaken place and make them let me out.
She looked around, saw a door marked Mall Offices in the corner of the hallway.
Exactly what I need, she said to the door as she walked to it. Someone's going to get a piece of my mind.
Opening the door, she paused at the hallway entrance. The back hallways of places like the mall were always a startling contrast to the showcases on the surface. It was dirty, painted a dull yellow, lit with a dim fluorescent bulb, and completely uninviting. However, there were stairs at the end of the hallway.
Stairs always lead to something,
she thought as she stepped into the hallway.
The door closed with a loud bang.
Hello?
Shelley called from the top of the stairway.
Is anyone there?
She started walking down the stairs.
I got locked inside the mall. I need to be let out.
She continued to call as she walked down the steps until she came to the next hallway. There were doors on this hallway, and that was a promising sign. She walked down the hallway, calling out as she tried each door.
Hello? Is anyone there? I need help!
Shelley stopped moving, speaking, and even breathing when all the lights suddenly went out, and she could not see a thing. Then, as unseen things moved around her, she began to scream. Mark and Jim were no longer watching Shelley on the security screens. Instead, they were watching their office door from across the room. They had both turned when they started hearing Shelley's calls for help. They both stood when the doorknob rattled as Shelley tried it, looking for someone to let her out of the mall. But there was no way out for her or for them. Not right now. Jim closed his eyes when Shelley started screaming.
Jesus, can't we?
No, Mark said. His voice was harsh with terror.
Did you know?
Mark shook his head. No, I didn't. None of the Taken have ever made it down this far, and the screens always go black before it happens. Suddenly there was a squelching, ripping sound, and the screaming stopped. The screaming turned to choking, and finally to a sputtering gurgle that seemed to go on and on. There were two cracking pops in rapid succession, then a pause, then two more. The wet gurgling sounds faded completely sometime after the third pop. But by then, Jim was over the trash can, and the sounds of Jim vomiting up his ramen mixed with the final spurts of crunching and tearing on the other side of the door.
You can't tell anyone. Mark's voice was shaky. No one will believe you. The cameras. The video.
It'll show her walking out of the exit door.
I've been through this a bunch of times before. I've reviewed the tapes. I don't know how it happens. I just know that it does.
Why? Jim wiped his mouth with the back of his hand.
Why what?
Why does the mall do it?
I don't know. He shrugged. I think it feeds itself to stay in repair. After a taking, things always seem better, to work better, look better, and sell better.
Jim wiped his mouth again with the back of his other hand.
As long as I work here, I'm safe?
The older man nodded.
Yeah, I don't know what happens if you leave this job after you've seen a taking. I've been here 10 years now. I never see anyone who leaves this job ever again. I don't know why. I don't want to find out why.
Jim looked at Mark for a long time. The realization of what his boss was really saying settled in.
I think I need a drink.
Mark nodded.
I'll get you one.
He walked toward the office door.
Mark!
Jim screamed his boss's name as Mark's hand touched the doorknob. The older man paused and looked at the terror in Jim's eyes.
It's okay, rookie. It's safe now. The taking's done. I'll bet there's a good bottle of scotch in the cigar place. There usually is when I really want one. Right now, I need a drink, too.
He opened the door without fear or hesitation and walked out of the security office into a brightly lit, clean back hallway.
Either the kid will make it, or he'll be the next taken. There's no choice in the matter. I've learned my lesson and earned that bottle of scotch,
Mark thought, without remorse or resignation. It was his job to take care of the mall at night, and he did that job well, even if it meant he had to watch the takings every few months. It was a small price to pay for job security and its perks. Also, at least in this mall, he knew he was safe.
This has been a presentation of ShadowcastAudio.com and is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License. Copy it, share it, pimp it all you want. Just don't try to sell it or change it. We keep this going through you, the listener. For the duration of the Masters of Horror podcast, all who make donations to ShadowcastAudio.com will receive an ebook copy of the Masters of Horror.
Just specify which format you would like. In addition, you'll also be entered to win a print version signed by myself, which will be given away at the end of the last episode. The music for the podcast is an original piece done specifically for the Masters of Horror by Christopher Carlson. Find more great selections at ChristopherCarlson.com. Thanks for listening.
This is the Fiend Master from ShadowPublications.com. Mr. Paul Ellard Cooley, author of Closet Treats, The Fiend's Collection, and the 2010 Parsec Award finalist novella Tattoo, available now as an ebook at Amazon.com, Smashwords.com, and BarnesandNoble.com for 99 cents. Was unavailable to record this bumper for the Masters of Horror anthology due to a pressing engagement with the local insane asylum. You can find this free audio fiction at ShadowPublications.com, along with rants, reviews, essays, and the occasional word for myself. But for now, you are listening to the Masters of Horror anthology. Enjoy.